How's it going, Clipper Nation?
I'm doing a little better today. Pretty good.
Yeah, I came in hot, but
I think people appreciate the effort.
It's a process.
I feel like this intro is the perfect way of how people are feeling, where it's like you're kind of like you're starting to get there, but it's still just like, damn. Still a little weird.
Yeah. You ever get the giggles like for a memory for a friend that you have?
For sure.
Sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, it's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Yes. Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. And boy, howdy. There's not a whole lot of news today, just to be real, but
we got some good stuff to talk about.
We got a lot of interesting hot topics.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
So in our first segment, we're going to talk about a little bit of what's going to happen with this scheduling of the Clippers-Lakers game that was slated to happen yesterday, if you're listening to this. And then we're going to do our What You Say Wednesday poll. Goes out on Twitter every single Tuesday. You're going to want to check that out. This one, really interesting. Can't wait to dive in.
This is a good one. This was a landslide victory again, but yeah, it poses some interesting ideas, I guess.
Totally. And then we're going to talk, we're going to do what I'm calling a way too early review of the Paul George trade.
It was kind of a slow day at work because I looked and I was like, oh, damn, let's do it, dude.
So we got all of that lined up for you. And then some shavings kicking around. So let's get into it.
Yeah. So this is kind of the first two segments kind of melded together, I guess. We did a What You Say Wednesday poll. Mm-hmm. Which was, do you agree with the NBA's decision to postpone Clippers versus Lakers? Overwhelmingly in favor. 86% voted yes. 14% voted no. Those who voted no, it was a combination of seemingly knowing what Kobe would want. And one person just said they were impatient, which I guess I respect the honesty.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most tactful person.
But
honesty is there.
Interesting response.
And I mean, you and I both agree it had to be. We talked about this yesterday after we got in recording. If they were to have played the game, I don't think it would have been able to finish.
It would have been, yeah, I don't know. It would have been so weird.
They would, I mean, and Vogel and Doc are both coaches who are, you know, they're kind of talked about as very in tune with their players, like the player, like they kind of, you know, have players' backs type stuff. They would have, I wouldn't have been surprised if they would have tried to play the game and then before tip off, it would have been like, all right, something. You know, like,
would they have done a thing where, like, it's maybe just the bottom of the roster guys that end up playing that game?
Kind of like a, almost like an exhibition. No disrespect to the bottom of the roster.
No. Not at all. Still rotation pieces. Like, guys would have sat
out. Like, so there was a report today that came out that, like, Kobe and Kawhi had the same helicopter pilot, the one who perished in that crash. So, there's things like that where it's like, you know, Kawhi would have maybe sat out. It's just those things. Like, I don't think they would have been able to finish the game today.
I really don't either. Yeah.
But then that goes into, when do they play this game?
So,
because it's tight booking.
I guess when I initially thought of it, I kind of just figured they would tack it on at the end of the season.
So I was talking with Clips co-host Joseph Fry Ward online about this, and I like it in theory, and we were both kind of like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But if things get really tight in the West for, like, say, the 2 through, I don't know, we go in low as 5, 2 through 4 seed.
Yeah.
Having that magnitude of a game in the break between the regular season and the playoffs, like, that puts such a, I mean, the NBA would probably want it from a rating standpoint.
Uh-huh.
But that seems, I don't want to say unfair, but that's a lot of pressure. That's the one game. It's the makeup from the Kobe game.
If it doesn't determine seeding,
I'm all for it.
If it doesn't determine seeding, do they just drop it?
That's a fair question. If it has no actual ramifications, no one's going for the win-loss record between these two teams.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the Clippers, but I don't think we're going to get that one this year. Yeah, if nothing changes, but that, so here's where
it would be bizarre. For
here's
sure.
Where the dickheads come in, as if they're like, oh, less games, rest.
I'm so tired.
I'm not agreeing with it. But so we actually joked on the last episode, maybe they should just play this during the All-Star break. Well, thankfully, Justin Russo at Fly By Night, one of the best follows on NBA Twitter, not just Clippers Twitter. He laid it out pretty accurately that it might have to be during the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Any other dates in Staples add a back-to-back or have the Clippers and Lakers playing three games in a row?
Which, man.
Look, I know the NBA doesn't like the Clippers schedule-wise, but I don't think they would make us play three games in a row.
That would be That would be brutal.
I think you could file a grievance if you were the players union about that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And they're not going to make the Lakers play three games in a row. No one should have to play three games in a row. So that's not going to happen. So the days that it kind of works is 17, 18, 19th is the All-Star break. Those are like kind of the meaty days for it to work.
Okay.
The 17th of February is the day after the All-Star game. So that would involve the teams going overnight from Chicago to LA to play a game.
That also seems brutal, but...
But they make them do it right now. Like, that's basically like having a back-to-back.
They make them do it now, and like, you're not playing.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler was too hungover for that one All-Star game. Yeah, he like just sat out. So... I don't know if they do that because it's like the All-Star break or whatever. So that leaves the 18th or 19th. February 18th is a Tuesday, which would give the Lakers 2 days off before their next game. It would give the Clippers 3 days off. February 19th is a Wednesday. It would give the Lakers a day off and the Clippers two. Both teams are in LA to start the post-All-Star break for part of that schedule.
What if they just add it to All-Star weekend?
It's just like a sweet, like...
It's an exhibition game in Chicago.
But it's not exhibition. That's what's hard about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And then, because the All-Star break, you know, not everyone goes All-Star weekend. So, like, then it's like this weird vibe.
Hey, what if there was a game?
Yeah, then it's like this weird vibe where if you're like Derek Walton Jr., you're like, oh, I'm really excited. Oh, we got to go play a game. Like, I mean, look, do I think Derek Walton Jr. should be an All-Star? Obviously. He was robbed this year. But this all makes sense. No back-to-backs, no added date at the end of the season. Like, I'm not completely opposed to this idea.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree. It seems to make the most sense.
There's an event. So Ralph Lawler talked about April 10th or something, I think. But there's an event that night at Staples Center. Do you think... Oh, see, this is where it sucks being... Because the Lakers have precedent because they're the second tenant or whatever behind the Kings. If it's a concert, do you think they can just cancel the concert?
I don't know.
Because that seems so much more murky with like red tape and like...
It would depend on like the pre-sale of the tickets. And
if it's Taylor Swift, obviously they're not canceling that concert.
I don't know. I
kind of like the idea of bagging the game altogether. If they set a date for after the regular season and then you kind of play things through and it's like playoffs are locked.
That's my thing is
I feel bad for people who went to who got tickets.
Yeah.
Like that's terrible. I'll tell you who I don't feel bad for is the resellers who were on SeatGeek who were really cheapest ticket for the game on Tuesday before it got postponed was like $1,000.
Oh, get out of here.
So F those resellers. You know what I mean?
Scumbags.
Like, a bunch of scumbags from Office Space. but I think I'd be fine with them bagging it.
Yeah, I agree.
With no implications, obviously. Like, if there's no harm, no foul, I'm sure they'd have to have, like, an owner's Skype-in call or something on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there is the idea that you're maybe getting slighted if you're the other teams. You're like, well, I'm not saying it's right.
Well, and also, like, what about the loss of revenue for, I don't know. I don't know how all that works. It's really, frankly, too much for me to think about.
There's a lot. I'm so happy they postponed the game, but they really, like, it was the right thing to do. But I imagine there's someone in the league office who's like, all right, give me my spreadsheets. Like, let's get this goddamn date figured out. We're recording this when we would have been hanging out basically before tip-off. I am so happy I'm not at Staples Center for a game right now.
That'd be pretty difficult.
It's just like, yeah, it would have been brutal. Anything else on this? Shout out to most of the people who voted. Shout out to 86% of you for agreeing with the decision.
Absolutely.
Those who didn't, you know, I guess I can kind of see it or whatever, but there was nothing malicious, which I liked. Like, no one said any weird replies.
That's good.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. So... That about does it for schedule talk. Coming up next, we got a way too early PG trade look.
Welcome to Too Early Updike's PG trade look.
Too Early Updike?
What? Is that not good?
Updike's too early.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, what do you... This kind of caught me off guard. But I appreciate... Because, like, if you look at the window in terms of straight-up contracts, it's a two-year window.
Yes.
You know? So, quasi too early maybe to look at this.
There has been a ticking... I mean, there has been a finite date on this trade since it was made.
Oh, yeah. I think the first thing I looked up was the contract deals after it. Of just like, okay, what is our window that I can tangibly put? Like, what amount of time can I only think to, basically?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about... I'm not even trying to think about after the two-year window right now.
Yes.
It's just like, this is what we have right now.
Absolutely.
How are you feeling about it?
So, I mean... I was nervous about this one from the start. Like
anytime there's that many picks.
It's interesting because like when it first happened, the night that it happened, I was jubilant.
Oh yeah. I was shooting off bottle rockets.
I would say I had buyer's remorse. I mean, almost instantly in my opinion. It's like one of those nights where you either leave your credit card at a bar or you're seriously thinking about calling the credit card company and just saying that it wasn't you.
Dude, someone stole my card. I've never even been to the shortstop. I don't even know what that is. I did not.
Shout out all my scammers.
Bro, I'm on that Uber app and I disable it as soon as I get out the car. You don't gotta pay for Ubers. If you wanna hear the original scam rap, check out Hell Yeah by Dead Prez. All right, we're getting way off track.
Here. We're getting way off track. So just looking at it thus far on the season, Paul George has played all of 11 games. And in that time, I would say looked very good.
100%.
Looked very
good. Defense
is a
little rusty, but the defense is getting better. The offense, the shooting was kind of there immediately. And the drawing contact has started to ramp up more, too.
Totally. So through those 11 games, out of a total of 47, just gotta throw that out there. Okay. 11 of 47.
What fraction is that?
he is averaging 24 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists.
Okay.
Pretty nice.
Fantastic.
Really.
When the other guy's putting up absurd numbers, that's perfect.
Really, really, really solid. And that's on splits of... Sorry, I thought I had this somewhere, but I don't.
No worries.
That's on splits of 43, 40, 85.
Can't be too mad with that.
Actually, 91. That's my bad.
Okay.
Well, 43, 40, 91.
Efficiency is there.
The efficiency is there. As you hinted, I do feel like...
Only real knocks is kind of the defense has been a little slow to get up, but that's the slowest part of the game, I think, to get back.
As you said, yeah, I do think that it has been hard. Looking at the offensive and defensive rating, once again, these aren't any sort of...
It's not a tell-all.
It's not a tell-all, and, you know, it is based on 100 possessions, but he is currently posting an offensive rating of 109.
Okay.
Defensive rating of 105.
Great.
Which is 105 is respectful.
Phenomenal, yeah.
So, I mean, a net
plus... With how it's looked, 105 is awesome, I would say.
Yes, a net plus 4. And then the other thing you do have to think about is the contract. So...
Yeah.
This year, $33 million.
Worth it.
Next year, $35 million.
Well, what's $2 million to Steve Ballmer?
And then he has a player option on 21-22, which he will likely decline. So
I don't know.
He'll decline because he'll be at the 10-year max.
Oh, I forgot he was at the 10-year thing.
He can get the ultra duper.
The
max that it seems like should not exist for all intents and purposes.
The max that there's no article that's like, this is why the super max is good.
but he would be getting paid in that 2021-22 season. $38 million macaroons? I don't know. What do people say
macaroons
for money?
Dude, that's how you know we're not rich, because we're like, what do people call money?
What do rich people say?
What do rich people say? Macaroons. yeah, no, he's going to get that Supermax. This is a hot take that just popped into my head. I bet the Clippers retain one of them, not both, at the two-year mark. This is, again, a way too early segment, so.
So, I think it depends.
And I'm not saying that's the whole team. Obviously, there's going to be a bunch of changes, but...
I think if we don't make a finals, we don't keep either.
Yeah, I think that would be understandable. I would be... I don't even know if I can think about that after what's going on right now in terms of emotion.
And if we don't win a finals, We don't keep one for sure. Maybe we don't keep either.
Yeah. So
let's go to final. And just to put it out there, not the team's decision that I would guess.
Yeah.
I would be pretty surprised. I mean, I guess it just depends on what other situations are open at that time. Like, because either one of these guys, if they leave, you know, I'm assuming they would, it would be a prerequisite that the team be a contender.
Yeah, and also with how much Paul George has talked about home and everything, I think he's probably the one I think who would stay. We didn't accomplish anything truly substantial.
Substantial
being the key part.
I do agree with that. So that's Paul George.
Yeah.
We take a look at OKC. They're 28-20.
Shout out to OKC, man.
They're seventh in the West.
That three-guard lineup.
They're 5.5 games behind us. Shea is currently averaging 19-6-3. So just, he's averaging only 5 points and one assist less than Paul George. He has played 48 out of a possible 48 games.
I'm getting some stank on these stats right now. I don't like where this is going.
Shooting splits of 46, 34, 80. So nowhere near George's efficiency. And, you know, is also our baby boy.
Baby boy? I don't know about that.
Our man.
Giant man.
Our man. And then you have Gallo, who is another interesting wrinkle in
who might get moved from OKC, too.
I think that would be foolhardy if they want to make any sort of...
But so here's the thing.
If they want to remain relevant.
Is they're not winning the finals. There's no world...
One team is.
I know. There's no world in which OKC is winning the finals. I still think they could make the playoffs if they got a good return for Gallo.
Okay, so here's my thing.
Shea's not going anywhere.
You think they could still make the finals without Gallo?
Depending what the playoffs.
Or yes. The, I mean, I meant to say the playoffs. I'm very sorry.
The finals, probably not. The playoffs, depending what the trade is, maybe. Chris Paul has something going on with his leadership and the belief, and him and Shea have like mind melded into this painfully gorgeous mentor-mentee relationship, if you're a Clippers fan, that if they got something in return, I don't know what would really fill in for Gallo. He could get on the cheap or something like that. Like, but I think it's possible.
I don't think that they are in the playoff hunt without Gallo.
I mean, that's also fair. I can see both sides, but
it
seems like they would move him because they also might move Steven Adams. There's just a bunch of swirling rumors about their guys with big contracts who aren't young.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Gallo only has a year left. He's an expiring though.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean,
shoot.
In that regard, you know, an interesting trade piece, he's also averaging 19-6-2, only one assist less than Shea.
Come on, man. Yeah,
what do you want me to say? He's played 40 of 48 games, splits of 40.
I'll tell you one thing. I didn't think at this point, even with the 10 games missed, that Gallo would be a longevity all-star compared to Paul George this season.
Yeah.
It's tough. I'm not trying to like badmouth Paul George at all.
Not
it's
at all.
Terrible
oh,
luck,
not at all. Not at all.
You just wouldn't have seen that coming.
And he Shout almost has, and he's on the same shooting splits essentially as Paul George. He's 44, 41, 91.
Does have to do a lot less defensively.
Yes.
Like Paul George has a much bigger two-way responsibility.
He's big
than both
though,
these
which
guys.
The Clippers could use at the four.
Man, we got so many big fours though. We got Jermichael, we got Patterson.
Yeah. We haven't begun to talk about the strength, though.
Okay, well, when it comes to strength, obviously I would want Gallo on the team. If the finals were an arm wrestling competition, you only need Gallo. We've asked this multiple times on this podcast. No one has yet to prove to us that Gallo is not the strongest man in the league.
No.
When you eat nothing but carbs, he's Italian, he loves pasta, shout out Cento Pasta Bar. You're strong. Carbs make you strong. That's a fact. More carbs, more strength.
That's a fact.
That's a fact, bro. I weigh 170 pounds, all muscle, all from pasta.
So, yeah, I guess overall, how I'm feeling, I don't know. Like, there's always been a caveat on this, right?
And it was for two players.
That's the thing. But
people on Twitter need to also remember that sometimes.
For sure. So there is the context. Like, it's generally understood that Kawhi would not have came for not making this trade. And if you look at it in the context of two players, you make that trade
every time.
Day. Every single time. it just makes me wonder, should players like coaches not play GM?
I don't know. Here's a take. I don't know who should be GM.
Lawrence Frank.
Well, fair. But it's so, because like the player empowerment, it is like, yeah, when Kawhi is coming off of Finals MVP, it's like, well, dude, what the hell? Are we going to be the team that was like, you need to get Paul George? You could have got Paul George and so gotten Kawhi, but then you said no. And now.
Yeah, totally. What? Totally. It's also one of those things, too. Because
the picks are not like the picks. It's like that Miami pick. It was like, well, that wasn't really worth anything.
So that to me is
worth nothing.
That's a non-factor.
Nothing. I don't mean it like that, but
that to me, yeah, is a non-factor at this point. Miami is currently second in the East.
Yeah, like, and they like are weird. You know, they're gonna probably go far in the playoffs. So that's a low ass pick.
Yes.
And but ours are hopefully gonna be towards the bottom of the.
Regarding more close, like
closer to the bottom, I should say.
I do think that. It does rattle your plan, because I'm assuming you have a longer term plan if you're in front office.
I don't know if you do.
In this age.
Because of these days, because of player empowerment and contracts, all that stuff. Like you said, the opting out. Players are now in a position where they can opt out of making $38 million a year, and it's an advantage play.
Yes.
So it's like this weird thing.
Unless
like,
you're injured.
Yeah, really? Unless you're injured. So it's this weird thing of like, GMs have to change now. GMs used to be the like, we're going to think super far ahead guys, and it worked out awesome. But now it's almost like GMs have to be like, you're thinking in a 3-year window.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's right. I'm like, I'm sure there's going to be some extremes to this. Like, cause like the app, like you look at it like a CEO at a big corporation, like a CEO's average, like time is like 4-something years.
Yeah.
And then they move to, you know, different title. Like
some
whatever.
Rich ass bullshit.
Some
I don't
rich
care.
Thing. Some making a bunch of macaroons or whatever. So I'm curious if GME is going to change like that.
Yeah, totally.
Because you also have to be like, I think Lawrence Frank and Jerry West are like the perfect combination, because it's like kind of got a more old school guy, and then you get Lawrence Frank where it's like, we got to do this now.
Yes.
Type thing. How are you feeling about the trade as of 6:58 p.m. January 28th, 2020?
Man, so nervous.
That's a good answer.
I wish
that's not
I,
negative.
I wish I wasn't, but so nervous.
But and I don't think that's negative. Like
I'm just curious.
I think everyone's been nervous.
I'm ready.
It's still a fun team to watch.
Yes.
We're not saying that.
I'm ready for George to return to the lineup. I'm curious. Before I ask you how you're feeling, I just want to know what are we looking at a window for George now? Like, so once he comes back, how many healthy games does it take for him to get back into form?
Dude, I've been trying not to think about this. Offensively, not as many.
Offensively, one game.
Offensively, I'm like, yeah, a game and a half. I don't know. A couple of good practices here and there. Defensively?
15 games. 12 games.
I was going to say maybe even more than 15.
Really?
Yeah, it's... If
the runway is getting shorter and shorter on this.
But so like if the rest of the team is fully healthy and working together, and Paul George is doing some light practicing and stuff, and like
totally.
Apparently he was close or whatever on the road trip or something. But if everyone else is kind of, you know, coalescing as a defensive unit, especially the starters, it adds a bit of nervousness.
Yeah,
so how it's gonna look,
because it's a wrinkle for everyone else too.
It's a wrinkle for
yes.
everyone else rotating, all of that stuff. I hope it peaks right at like the 7, or I hope it's starting to get into that like 78-83% full capacity mark at like the 76th game of the season.
That would be ideal. So how are you feeling?
I'm still bullish on the trade.
All right,
I'm pro the trade. I don't think,
if you think of it as two players, I mean obviously
you have to, like, my thing is like people who maybe aren't seeing it as two players, I can't please hit us up at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mike. I love like how you're not seeing it as for two players.
Yeah,
it just was very explicit that it was like, I need this.
Yeah,
so go get this. That being said,
do you think that Kawhi thought Paul George would pay more?
I think everyone did. I think Paul George thought he would play more.
Fair.
You know, like the us, and I'm not talking about the surgery recovery. That was like, we know that's going to happen.
I mean, that, yeah,
the
that
hammy
was
thing.
So that, like, that timeline was drilled in, like, from the time
from
the trade
from
happened.
The Woj bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what I honestly blame for it. I blame that damn Knicks game. It went from a sore to a strain.
It's a damn shame.
Just saying.
Anyways, coming up next, we got some shavings for you. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard of all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you.
Hell yeah, dude.
Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Clippers fans, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. It's true. We hate big business on this podcast.
Well, I'm at Smart and Final constantly. I'm going to my
unless local you're a sponsor of this podcast, then we love your big business.
Look, if you're a local dispensary, come through. I've probably been there.
So text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success.
Woo.
Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising.
Okay, welcome to Shavings.
Hey.
Hey, it's Shavings. Just a couple of things kind of kicking around in the Shavings drawer. Jerry West, there's some beautiful Kobe storytelling, recounting, feelings having that happened tonight on TNT. Jerry West was... Dude, if you've ever seen Jerry West in person...
Yeah,
he's on there with a list of people who I'm like, oh yeah, I'll never see that person cry. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like Jerry West, like John Wayne, and like your grandpa are like
for
people
sure.
who are like, I'm never gonna see that guy cry. He was tearing up talking about Kobe. He recounted the story of convincing Kobe to not be a Clipper because of Donald Sterling. He said, you can't go play with the Clippers. You can't play with that owner, period. That was the story. It was from LA Times. Ralph Lawler talked about it. They had it wrapped up. Like, Kobe was like, I'm gonna be a Clipper. And, like, people were high-fiving and shit. And then Jerry West was like, you can't do that. Fun fact about this, Jerry West was not employed by the Lakers at the time. He just, like, genuinely cared about Kobe to be like, dude, don't go
play. Don't chills. That's great career advice.
Don't go play for Donald Sterling is the best career advice you could give anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it hurts, you know, for, like, some weird Clippers fan, like, that would have been crazy. But, like... The reach is so crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
And like Jerry talking about this, it's like, shout out Jerry West.
Shout out.
Man, I don't, yeah, it was really nuts. It was just like, that story is so crazy too. How on earth did Donald Sterling almost get that to happen? Do you think he was like, everyone else talked to him, and then the last day Donald showed up and it was like, oh, God damn it. Like Kobe was like, hey, no, I've loved talking to, you know, like the associate owner and the vice owner, but can I talk to Donald? And they were like, oh yeah, he's got a thing. When you want to talk to him? It's like, oh, Tuesday. Like, oh, we got a thing that day too, man. Might as well just sign the contract and say what's up, bro. Like,
yeah, how hard they must have tried to shield Kobe from Donald when all that was going down.
They were scheduling Donald Sterling like 2 day long like tanning bed appointments or something. Like no, you gotta seclude yourself, man. What would the Clippers look like if Kobe would have came?
I would feel bad for Kobe. I think
Kobe's career would have been, I don't know, it would not have been what it was. Like, it would not have been what it was. It couldn't have been with that owner.
The mismanagement of the team was just too intense.
Donald Sterling would have been asking Kobe Bryant for change to buy ankle tape.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy. February 1st was announced in San Diego. It's going to be Kawhi Day.
Hey.
Hey, shout out San Diego. Shout out the Aztecs.
San Diego.
Beautiful. Beautiful San Diego. Will Colstrip, Montana ever have a William Updike Day?
Oh, man. Probably not. They do have Colstrip Days, which is a day.
Just for the town?
Celebrating the town. It's going to be June 1st this year.
You headed out? Are you the marshal of the Colstrip Days parade? Hamilton, Montana, where I lived for a couple years, had Ag Days, which was agriculture.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cows kicking it in the street and stuff.
Definitely.
That was a good time. This is kind of a teaser subject, actually, that I wanted to put in the pod, but, you know, whatever. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Do you think the Clippers have a player development issue on their hands?
Ooh, I like this.
We got a couple minutes to just kind of kick it around, maybe tease some stuff, but you look at, you know, Shea was Shea. Kind of undeniable. As soon as we kind of saw him get some minutes on his leg, it was like, this kid's going to be good.
You don't credit any development.
I credit some, but I would give most of the credit to Shay.
That's fair. Yeah. No, that's totally fair.
And then you look at Jerome, was not developed, and there was some bad luck in there. And it
injury.
Didn't work out.
I mean, I don't know. It's still difficult
for sure. You know, we drafted Delgado, who was a project who put up, I think, historically the biggest double-double in like G League history.
Yeah,
and was just like just killing in the G League. He shipped out. We couldn't really find a spot for him. Motley is seemingly kind of going to be a G League guy for the rest of his career. People have been, you know, like he's been showed promise as well. Is there kind of a development thing maybe that the Clippers need to focus on after the 2-year window?
Oof.
Even Blake, it took a long time for him to develop. And that was also much different ownership, different franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. I think you have to separate this, because if you're looking at the history of...
Yeah,
of
let's Clippers, say current regime.
Yeah.
Regime.
If we're talking current regime, I do think that there is an argument perhaps to be made about some player development issues.
And it is hard. I'm not trying to make it out like, you just develop a guy and he's good. talking about too soon, like, it would be nice from a player development standpoint if, like Mann and Derek Walton are headed down to the G League to get this game against the Sioux Falls Sky Force. Shout out Sioux Falls for having a great name. Way better name than the city. But, like, they're going to get some run and stuff.
There's
like,
not need to be any Sioux Falls slander on here.
Dude, I'll slander Sioux Falls all day. I have no reason to. But, like, Derek Walton and Terrence Mann are going down to get some time, which is good. And, like, it's great they're getting G League time, but it's not like Doc's really... You know, like, Jerome's taking Derek Walton's minutes and Mann's minutes.
I think that's reasonable, but...
It is, but it's this thing of, like, so... There was that one game where, like, Rome went down to the G League, got a DNP, and, like, I don't know. It's just a little kind of interesting. We do a lot of things front office well, a bunch of things well. This seems to be something where I'm getting, like, I'm carving up a red flag.
My counterpoint would just be,
F you.
I mean, my counterpoint would just be, how the hell much development time do you expect to have when you have Kawhi and Paul George on your team?
No, I agree with, and that. So that's where it's hard. Is that, like, I also am saying there's no time for it.
Yes.
So it's this weird thing of, like, and you look at the team across the hall, same exact situation. They have no time to develop young people.
Yeah.
Unless you get some mercurial talent falling into your lap in the second round or something like that, which we kind of do with Shamit. So, like, seeing Shamit's going to be kind of my benchmark for, like, player development who's getting regular time. And he's looked great in these past couple games.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And with a coach like Doc, and, like, I don't...
A lot of it, though, is kind of his natural game.
For sure. And, like, a lot of people say, like, Doc doesn't give young guys time. I think I'm kind of unsubscribing from that idea.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just kind of something I was thinking about. Zubats is also another person who is a young player. I know he's played, you know, 5 years or whatever, seasons, but he's 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
So his development is going to, like, him and Shamit are kind of like my benchmarks for, like, how is the team developing these guys?
Definitely.
Anything else in the shamings?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Hope we're kind of out of time.
We're out of time. Hope everyone's doing okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Shopify, maybe. I don't know. They might be doing podcasting. Thursday's episode, we're getting back to basketball on Thursday.
Yep.
Feels, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be weird, but I'm a little excited. Preview of the game against the Kings. Hot take Thursday. Again, please send us your takes. Go ahead and submit them to 213-986-7354. Leave that voicemail. Try and not curse. We will not play it if you curse. Whatever else happens to me now and then in Clipperland, I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.